Take your Bibles now and turn to Romans chapter 1, if you will. Romans chapter 1. And we'll begin reading just a moment with verse 13 as we think a little bit about missions tonight and about our task and about what God's called us to do. You know, Matthew 4:19, Jesus said, "Follow me and I will make you great," right? Or "I'll make you rich. I'll make you prosperous." What did he say? "Follow me and I will make you" what? "Fishers of men." Did you know that is a perpetual thing? In other words, if you follow him, you get saved, you follow him, then you must be a fisher of men. And that is perpetual. It never ends. It never stops. Everybody ought to be interested in souls coming to Christ. For no other reason, think about that message this morning on hell, about the reality of hell. And people need Christ. We saw in Brother Ray Dink's DVD presentation there, they showed a church and they showed religion, but the church had no gospel. And religion had no Savior. But people need the gospel. They need the Savior. In my opinion, the greatest missionary that ever lived, probably, was the Apostle Paul. And let's see what he said and look at some of his heartbeat when Paul had been graciously saved by God's mercy, gave his life to the Lord, and he knew why he was called to be fishers of men. Verse 13, Romans chapter 1, "Now I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Anybody here tonight ashamed of the gospel of Christ? He said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Why, Paul? "For the gospel of Christ, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek," or to the Gentile. Now, what was Paul's desire as we look in these verses? Look at the desire that he had back in verse 13. He said, "I want to have some fruit among you." Now, anytime we determine to have fruit, and anytime we determine to have results, and I think he's not talking about the fruit of the Spirit here. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, meekness, temperance, faith. But the fruit of a Christian is another Christian. I want to have fruit among you. I want to bring people to Christ. I want people to be saved. Somebody said on the way out today, "I wish some folks could have been here to have heard that message about hell." And I said, you know, what we need to do is do a better job of getting them here, the unsaved, so that they can hear how to be saved, so that we can have fruit. We want to have fruit, don't we, as a church? And I mean, I know there are a lot of ways of arriving at that, and there are a lot of responsibilities, but the end result should be that we want to have fruit. And when we're going to have fruit, the devil's going to fight us. We better get ready for it. Paul knew what that was, but it didn't matter. He had a desire, and that desire never left him, even though he was martyred for the cause of Christ. Paul said, "The thing I want so much among you and everywhere I go is that there will be souls coming to the Lord Jesus Christ." We are an independent fundamental Baptist church, and we ought to say that we are soul-winning independent fundamental Baptist church through missions and other ways of reaching people with the gospel of Christ. I said earlier tonight to someone, I think it was in my prayer, in the prayer time, I said, "God help us not to just have a social club. Might as well go join the Kiwanis Club." or the odd fellows. It's where some of us belong, I think, the odd fellows. But we have a greater purpose than all of them put together, though they may do some good. And that is that we can have fruit. Paul said, that's my desire. That is my heartbeat, that there might be fruit, that there would be souls who would come to Christ. Now look at verse 14. Because that was Paul's desire, and he understood some things. He knew who he was, where he came from, what God had done for him. He knew he had been headed for hell, religious, but headed for hell. And so he had a desire, but Paul knew that he also had a debt. Verse 14, he said, I am debtor. I am debtor. Now, a lot of us have plenty of consumer debt. We need to be careful with consumer debt. Amen. Take that credit card and cut it up. If you're going to use it for business reasons and pay it off at the end of every month. And don't pay those scallywags 20% or 21 or 24 or whatever it is. Be careful about consumer debt. Some of us need plastic surgery, amen? One guy said, my wife needs plastic surgery. Well, I'm going to tell you, some of the men need plastic surgery too when it comes to credit cards. We don't need consumer debt, but we are indebted. There's a debt you and I will never get through paying, and that is a debt to God to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. We owe that to God to do that. And Paul said, I'm debtor. I'm debtor to the Greeks and the barbarians. I'm debtor to everybody. That's what he's saying. No matter who I meet, where I meet, we're to constantly, every day, on the way, as we go on our way, to be looking for people who need the Lord Jesus Christ. And to be praying that the Holy Spirit would guide us and lead us to those people, just as God led Philip to the Ethiopian eunuch. They're out there. God wants to work on that end and this end and bring us together that people can come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have a debt, folks, that we owe, that we need to give to people. They need to hear about Jesus Christ. Of all the things we can give them, you can give them all the clothes you want to and all the food you want to, all the philosophy you want to give them, all the money you want to give them, all of that. Socialism says if everybody can get just a little piece of the pie and it's distributed equally to everybody, then everybody's going to be happy and they're going to be all right. That's a lie. That's not the truth. Socialism never has worked. It never will work. But I'll tell you what will work, giving them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am debtor to all of these people, the wise, the unwise, to everybody in every walk of life. We should be willing to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a desire. I want fruit. I want souls to be saved. I have a debt, and it's a debt that I owe God and I owe people to tell them about Jesus Christ. Now, if you have a desire and you know you owe a debt, then a third thing is going to come in your heart, and that is determination. I have a desire. A desire is not enough. I have a debt, realizing that's not enough, but we need determination. Verse 15. So as much as in me is, everything that is in me, as much as in me is, all of my strength and my energy and my heart, my mind, my soul, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome. Also, Paul said, I'm ready to do something. I'm determined to do something. He said, I'm determined to preach what? The gospel. I'm going to give you the gospel. It's not going to be some watered down philosophical message. It's not going to be some kind of social program message. It is going to be the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the gospel? It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And that is the gospel. And he said, that's what I want to give. Not something watered down. Not some man-made religion and philosophy. Now, they've got a lot of religion in Germany. They've got religion, bukus of religion. And they have the Muslim factor now. I believe you told me somewhere around 2050 that they figure that Muslims will be taking over Germany. That will be... they will be in the majority in Germany. If we don't watch out, they'll be in a majority in America. We're seeing those mosques pop up all over. We need to tell them and need to get the gospel to them. And we're debtor to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. But they don't need more religion. They need to hear the gospel. That's what people need to hear. It's the power of God unto salvation, everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, to the Gentile. They need to hear the gospel. They don't need to hear my philosophy and my opinion, and they don't need to hear about Plato and Socrates and all of those. They need to hear from the Word of God, the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus saves. You're a sinner, and Jesus saves. You need a Savior, and the only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul wasn't kidding when he was determined to do it. Paul wasn't out there preaching some charismatic, shallow gospel of prosperity and that God wants everybody to be rich and God wants everybody to be well. God doesn't want everybody to be rich and well. That's not, you cannot prove that by the Bible, but God does want everybody to be saved. God wants everybody to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. So he didn't give them some watered down deal. He meant business. How do we know he meant business? Well, when he went into Jerusalem, he was mobbed. You don't just keep going on when you're running into the kind of resistance. I said at the outset of the message, Satan is going to fight you if you want to give out the gospel. You can count on it. So when he went into Jerusalem, he was mobbed. When he went into Athens, he was mocked, made fun of. Everywhere he went, he met resistance. And finally, he went into Rome, he was finally incarcerated. And finally, he was martyred. Now ask me, did he really mean business? Did he really think hell was real? Did he really think he had a calling of God? Did he really believe that he was called to be a fisher of men? Did he really believe that he had a debt that he owed? Did he really believe that he had a desire to tell people about Christ? You can not let this trouble you, and you can say, I've heard that soul-winning stuff and reaching people till I'm tired to hear it. Friend, I'm telling you, we need to be reminded over and over and over and over again that we have a task. Not only here in our Jerusalem, we need to do that. It's not just in the foreign countries where we need to be involved. Some people are very involved in missions, but here at home, they never come out on visitation. They never win anybody to the Lord. They never bring anybody down the aisle to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to get that in balance. We need not only to have a burden for missions and missionaries, but we need to have a burden for our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, and those that are around us, and yes, the uttermost part of the world. We need to be involved in missions, and I'm glad that we are. We gave around $260,000 to missions last year. I hope in the near future we'll be able to go over $300,000. But you know what? God blesses a missions-minded church. God meets all of our needs. He has. And while some churches are hurting and while the economy is not good, God is still blessing us. And I'm just amazed at how he provides. But I believe one of the reasons is because we know that we owe a debt and that we need to try to bring people to Christ. But we need to do it right here at home. And Paul was determined to do the right thing. And then Paul had a delight, verse 16. He had a delight. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And he's talking here about the fact that he had confidence in the gospel and he delighted in the results that would come, that people would gloriously be saved. You see, he knew the Bible was sufficient. Just like I was preaching this morning, just very similar to that. God said, they're not going to hear to the rich man. They're not going to believe. If they don't believe the prophets, they don't believe the word of God, they're not going to believe if somebody dies and is buried and arose. And that's what happened to Christ. But they've got to believe the word of God. That's why they need a Bible. That's why we need people who go out and do like the young lady from Vanuatu who translates the language and gives them the ABCs, as we would call it, in their own language. And then finally they're giving them the book of John so they can be saved. Thank God for it. People who realize that the Word of God is sufficient and that it is sovereign, and God will work with you and God will work to get it done. There are times that I think I need to be ashamed, and you need to be ashamed, really, at how so little we're doing to reach lost souls. Good church, good people, good causes, good fellowship, good ministries, but all of it should be to the end of winning the lost to Christ. I said to a staff worker one time about our senior citizen ministry in Indiana, I said, look, the bottom line of that ministry is we want senior citizens to be saved. Not just to be entertained and fed, but that they would come to Christ. He took issue with it. He didn't hang around very long, by the way. Because, you see, the bottom line is we want people to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what our ministry and that's what our church is all about. Now, do we get discouraged? Sometimes we do. But we just have to do what God tells us to do and keep on doing it. I will make you. Follow me. Follow me. I'm the Lord. And I will make you fishers of men. And it's a perpetual thing. Just keep on doing it. Keep on doing it. Keep on doing it. The devil will fight us. We'll get discouraged sometimes. We've got to get our encourager pepped up. We've got to realize that it's so important, so vital for us to do that. And every ministry we have at this church, whether it's Reformers Unanimous or whatever it is, the thing we want to do is to bring people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we cannot afford to be selfish with our time, talent, and treasure. We've got to get out there and get the job done. We don't have to apologize for the gospel. Absolutely not. It is God's power unto salvation. What we need to do is get it out there. They're hurting people out there. And I know there's some cruel people and mean people. And some people, yesterday, Brother Baldwin and Brother Wimberly were out door to door. They won someone to Christ. The man accepted Christ. I don't know if he was mainly Spanish and could speak enough English. They led him to Christ. Brother Baldwin came back and was telling me about it. And he said, but the door we went to before that, they slammed the door in our face. They didn't like it. They didn't want to hear the gospel. You're going to have that. And you're going to have people you talk to out there that don't want to hear it. But there are going to be some people that do want to hear it. And that's what we need to do. Paul had a desire. What was his desire? What's your desire tonight? What's the burning desire of your heart? I believe these missionaries and others, and we have 16 or 17 member missionaries, I believe the desire of their heart is to see people saved. They're not going on vacation. They're not going on a sightseeing trip. They're not going to over there to learn some things, come back and give us a history lesson on all of the history of that country. They're going over there to tell them about Jesus. And that's what we need to do right here, right now. And the gospel, my dear friend, if you're not saved, is very simple. Jesus died for you. Oh, thank God, we've got some good news to give. We've got some great news to give. We've got the only news that is the saving news, and that is the gospel. It is called good news. Why is it good news? Because it tells a person how you have all your sins forgiven. I'm glad my sins are under the blood. How about you? Oh, thank God my sins are under the blood. And so we don't need to be like those lepers that ran across all that food and they said, we do not well. They finally came, they said, we do not well. We can't just eat all this stuff ourselves. We got to go back to the city and take them some of the booty of warfare because they deserve the blessing that we've had. And that's what we need to do. May God help us to care. May we be like Paul and have a desire and have in our hearts a determination and a delight in telling people about Jesus Christ. Would you try to make up your mind tonight? I'll do the same. We would do our best to do a little bit better in bringing people to Christ, in witnessing and getting out the gospel. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed. If you're here without Jesus as your Savior and you're not sure about heaven, but you want to be, you want to go to heaven, God's been speaking to you about it, we want you to come and let Him save your soul tonight. He can save you. You don't have to wait. You don't have to go through some Baptist catechism or classes. All you need to do is say, I know I'm a sinner and I believe that Jesus paid my sin debt and I want to be saved. Would you come and we'll be here. Somebody will take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Most of you are saved. And so the need tonight is for brokenness. Brokenheartedness for a lost and dying world. Brokenheartedness for those we know. May we ask God to help us to have that broken heart over and over again for all we need it. Father, bless in this invitation. Have your will and way in Jesus' name. We pray. Break our hearts.